two of a kind. For your information, we're two of a kind.
Two of a kind. It's my observation, we're two of a kind.
Like peas in a pod
and birds of a feather, alone or together you'll find that we are two of a kind.
9:01 on the Jeff Blair Show with George Russick. I'm Jeff Sammet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You know, George, I love doing shows that are banked up against the weekend because...
It's the weekend?
Yes. Yes. But there's just that much more to talk about and that much more ground to cover. And next hour, be looking at a lot of soccer talk, TFC... Chicago tomorrow. We'll preview that with John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca. And, of course, also talk about week number two in the Premier League. I tried to Howard
that
Cosell.
Just, that just doesn't work.
A soccer thing.
You need, like, the heavy, intense, you know, music. Week two in the English Premier League.
Ooh, my goodness.
You have to have the radio
I'm
big
very excited
voice guy. I kind of sound like a strip club DJ, too, there.
Mm. Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's always the fallback career.
Yeah, I could see
hey,
that.
Hey, guys.
I could see that. Absolutely.
I'd be the strip club DJ who doesn't swear.
Doesn't?
Yeah, because, that would be my thing.
Because you keep it clean.
Right.
In a couple of hours, also going to look at the NFL. Jory Mittelstadt. He's back. Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock. The bottom line.
No, I'll it's not you. The bottom line anymore. It's
not the bottom line anymore?
It's some other...
It's called now. Let's call the
it's
bottom
not the
line.
The bottom line? I don't know what the bottom whatever. The, we'll ask Jory what the hell the show's called now.
No, it's the bottom line.
All right,
and it's happening Sunday morning. I don't like to.
All right, it's the
start
fine.
A Sunday. Yeah, see, it is
fine. The it's the bottom. Okay, bottom. Good.
He's I don't like host. To start a Sunday good. Morning without the bottom line, and we've had to do that. In fact, I've had to do that time slot several times over the summer.
Right,
which has been really odd.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to start my Sundays with the bottom line, and we're going to get to do that this weekend. Jory Mittelstadt's going to join us ahead in about 2 hours. On Sportsnet 590 events. We'll talk NFL with Jory. Oh, it'd be great to hear his voice. I'm looking forward to that. Later on in the hour, Ben Wagner, Bison's radio voice, is going to join us. Daniel Norris was superb, but once again, and pitching for the Bisons last night, you heard Ben S. mention on the update. So we'll talk to Mr. Ben Wagner later on in the hour. We start with your playoff-bound Toronto Blue Jays. I just wanted to say it to kind of test drive that. I hope we get to say that more often. Later on in the year. Mike Wilner, Blue Jays host and voice, joining us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Michael, Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet.ca. You know Ben. He's a good guy. And Ben writing an article on the site, and he talks about what the Blue Jays need to do down the stretch to make it to the playoffs, reach a target of 90 wins, saying that they've got to go 25-10, and saying, and I quote, basically, the Blue Jays would have to play as well as they've ever played in the 38-year history of the franchise because they've never finished a season that strong. What do you think of that, Michael?
Well, I guess he's right if they're going to get to 90 wins, but I don't think you're going to need 90 wins to get to the playoffs. And I, you know, I think that there's a little too much to the whole, well, they have to do this and all that stuff because things can change so quickly. You know, all they really need to do is be four games better than the teams in front of them down the stretch. It's certainly not going to be easy. I'm not trying playoff bound on for size yet. I think there's a lot of work to do, but they're certainly not out of it, but they're hardly the favorites.
Mike, when you look at the teams ahead of them in the wild card, and obviously the Mariners pitching fantastic, Detroit has some issues with the bullpen as well. These teams aren't world beaters. They can go cold as well. It's not like they're chasing the World Series Red Sox of last year.
Well, yeah, but that's what happens when you're chasing the second wild card spot. You know, every team that you're going to be in competition with is going to be very flawed. You know, it's baseball. The team that, you know, it's not, there's not 400 win teams that are all gunning for the playoffs that you have to chase. There's a team that's winning about 53 or 54% of its games, and they definitely all have the capability of going cold, for sure. And that's why, you know, that's why you're not out of it by any means when you're four games out. And you look back at the last few years, and you know, a couple of years ago, Tampa Bay was 9.5 games out on September 1st, and St. Louis was 9 games out, and they both wound up making the playoffs. These things are not impossible.
Seeing the Blue Jays as they've been this month, which is not very good, in moving forward, do you give them that identity where you look at the month that has been and say, yeah, this is the current state of the Toronto Blue Jays, or say, no, they're a better team than that? Like, how do you evaluate these Toronto Blue Jays or identify them right now?
Well, you look at the way the season's progressed and over the course of the 135 games or whatever it's been that they've played, this is a team that has run exceptionally hot and cold. And they've managed to follow up every cold streak with a real hot streak, but they're running out of time to do that now. So I think when you look at it, you look at the talent that's on the team and you look at the players that they have and what they're capable of doing. Now that they're almost all healthy, you have, you know, you're dealing with the group that you're going to deal with now pretty much for the rest of the season. Brent Laurie's not going to be back for a while, so it's this group. And this group can be pretty good. And so you hope that they're about to start, maybe Wednesday they did begin another one of their hot streaks. And if they do, they can win their way right back into the middle of this thing. If they don't, then they don't. And it was a swell 4 months.
Mike Woolner on the Jeff Blair Show. Mike, you talk about injuries. How has Edwin and Lynn looked to you?
Lynn didn't get to play in Milwaukee, so I don't really know. But, I mean, he got 4 hits after the 2 games after his first game back. Edwin's looked a little off, but that's to be expected. You know, it's very hard for guys to miss a month or more and hit the ground running. But you hope now they've had a few at-bats, and they're going to get locked in, and they're going to get home and both have regular playing time, and they'll be able to get back to what they were.
Blue Jays rank near the bottom of the American League with a .246 average versus left-handers, and then they get Drew Smyly tonight. What kind of a lineup do you expect the Toronto Blue Jays to put forth against a left-hander?
Pretty good one. I mean, you have to remember that for a great deal of time this season, they were just abysmal against lefties and, you know, hitting like .150 and running out 5 left-handed hitters who can't hit lefties against the lefty. Now they don't have to do that anymore. And you know, the addition of Danny Valencia was huge in that to help that. Nolan Reimold's helped as well. Against Drew Smyly tonight, they only have to put 1 left-handed hitter out there, and it'll be Colby Rasmus. So this is a much better, much deeper lineup against left-handers now than it was even 3 weeks ago.
Mike, obviously Marcus Stroman getting the start tonight, and all the hype heading into this season that when is he going to make a start? When is he going to make his appearance for the Blue Jays? And obviously it's a huge start for him, the biggest of his career, and I know if that's fair or unfair, but it's to the point now where the Blue Jays need to pick up wins now. Do you think we're putting too much pressure on him? Is it fair to put that pressure on him?
He's pitching in the major leagues. You got to deal with pressure. I mean, you know, unless you're going to be coming up for a team that's out of a race and getting your feet wet for the first few years of your career in games that don't matter, there's going to be pressure on you. And look at the St. Louis Cardinals last year. They went to the World Series with Michael Wacha in the rotation, and Trevor Rosenthal was their closer, and these guys were rookies. And you're going to have to deal with a little bit of pressure. If you can't handle that pressure, then I don't know that I want you pitching for me. So sure, I think Stroman can handle it, and he pitched very poorly his last time out, and so he needs the bounce back. He's got a whole week off, so some extra rest. I don't think it'll be an issue, but I think, you know, at some point you have to say, look, just go get him, and this is what your career is going to be. We're planning to be a team that's going to be very competitive And therefore, you're going to pitch in a lot of big games, so get going.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to Kevin Barker about this on Baseball Central, Mike, when looking at, if you're talking about Marcus Stroman, you talk about Hutchinson, Burley, what have you, pitchers that might need rest, pitchers that might need a start off or whatever. You're pitching in the big leagues. You're in the midst of trying to get into the playoffs. This is your rotation. You've got to go out there every 5 days. You've got to suck it up no matter what the issues might be. If it's a mental issue, if it's a physical issue, this is the time of year where you have to stand up and be part of the rotation. It is what it is right now for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, and you know what? It's got the capability of being a very good rotation. We saw that in a few turns before this last one where they've been awful. You know, the last six starts, the ERA is close to nine or whatever it is. But they have been very, very good. Marcus Stroman's been very, very good. And so one hopes that he's going to be very, very good again tonight. And tonight it's against a team that doesn't hit particularly well. So he gets a bit of a break that way. But, yeah, it's a big game. But the truth of the matter is, if the Blue Jays are going to claw their way back into this thing, every start the rest of the way is going to be huge for him.
Mike, obviously you've heard many times in the Blue Jays talk callers belly aching that the Blue Jays didn't make a big move at the trade deadline. And a lot of callers and a lot of fans would have sacrificed a guy like a Marcus Stroman. But if he goes out there and shines tonight and a guy that you look to be a future stud for the Blue Jays, isn't this what you wanted from the trade deadline anyway, getting a guy of Marcus Stroman's ilk? And if he goes out there and performs, that's essentially what you wanted to get at the deadline anyway?
The way he's capable of performing?
Right.
Sure. And you've got him for another 6 years that you hope he's going to be terrific.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand that people are frustrated still by the lack of movement at the deadline, but you got to look around and see, A, what the cost for guys would have been, and two, what's gone on with teams. Like Detroit got David Price, Oakland got John Lester. They're both under 500 since the deadline. Kansas City didn't do anything. They're the best record in baseball since the deadline. So I think there's a lot, much too much being made of that.
Take us back to the beginning of the year and the vision the Blue Jays had for Marcus Stroman when he was expected to be called up if all things were going well. What their plan was for Stroman and how it's kind of lined up with what has happened.
I don't know what the specific plan was. I think it kind of worked out the way it worked out. You know, they broke camp with Dustin McGowan in the starting rotation, and they kind of knew that that it was more of a wing and a prayer thing than anything else, that they hoped they would be able to get some good work out of him, but he might only last in the rotation for a month or two. And I think they might have been thinking, well, when McGowan hits a wall or gets hurt, hopefully Stroman will have had 6, 7, 8 starts in AAA. He'll look good, and we can bring him up. And that's kind of what happened. They thought that McGowan was kind of hitting the wall when they brought Stroman up. And I think that McGowan was on his last legs in the rotation, and they figured, well, he'll have one more start. He'll get hit again because he's gotten hit hard a couple of times, and then we'll just make the switch and put Stroman in. But he went out and he pitched really, really well, and he earned another couple of starts, so they had to throw Stroman in the bullpen and give him that sort of demystify the major leagues for a little bit, and then they had to send him back down to stretch him out when it was time to take McGowan out of the rotation. So I don't know that it worked out exactly the way they planned it. It probably would have liked to not have had to do that whole bullpen, send him back down, stretch him back out, bring him back up thing. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty much according to the way they thought it would work.
He's the host of the Blue Jays Talk. You'll hear him on the broadcast tonight right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan starting at 7 o'clock. Mike Wilner. Mike, thanks for doing this.
No problem, boys.
All right, Michael, we'll listen for you tonight. We take your calls on Marcus Stroman and the confidence that you've got in the rookie, not just tonight in a very big game for the Toronto Blue Jays, but for the rest of the Blue Jays season. Certainly a pitcher that the Blue Jays are counting on quite heavily down the stretch to make it to the playoffs with the slim chances they've got. What's your confidence level in a Marcus Stroman? 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-0590, or *590. We welcome your comments on Twitter at RussickSN590, at JeffSammet590. And as Mike put it, George, in talking about Stroman, he's a big league pitcher. He's in the rotation. He has been for a little while now this season. He can handle this pressure. He has to handle this pressure. So, and he's been arguably, I think it's arguably, and maybe definitively to many, the best pitcher the Blue Jays have had, the best starting pitcher the Blue Jays have had. So there's no wavering in my confidence of Marcus Stroman for what he is. We've seen that he's had a start here and there where just didn't last very long, just didn't have it. But for the most part, he's been great. And I'm willing to roll the dice on Marcus Stroman the rest of the way out. It's not a question as to whether or not he's going to be in the rotation. Should he be? There's none of that stuff. But with the Blue Jays trying to pursue a playoff spot, I'm glad Marcus Stroman, in what we've seen, is part of the mix.
When you look at the starting rotation as a whole, isn't Marcus Stroman the guy to you have the most faith in? When Ari Dickey goes out there, I'm like, uh-oh. Venus and Jupiter have to align.
I did not know
that. The barometric pressure has to be just right. The humidity at the Rogers Center has to be at 15.8% for the knuckleball to work properly. Mark Burley, you just don't know what you're getting out of him. If he doesn't have pinpoint control, he's going to get hit hard. Drew Hutchinson's been completely inconsistent. Jay Happ is Jay Happ. You don't know what you're getting from a start-to-start basis with him as well. Marcus Stroman's the guy you look at and you have the most faith in. Albeit he's struggled of late, but when you look at this rotation as a whole, Jeff, who's the guy you'd want to throw out there in one game? Who's the guy right now?
Based on results, it's Stroman.
Right.
But based on
experience
a big game,
right,
I would rather go with a Burley.
Right. But I'm just saying right now in this rotation.
Not that you're necessarily given that choice, but I know what
the you'd be biting your nails.
I know what the exercise is, yeah.
You'd be biting your nails. Because you'd be nervous. Because what you've seen out of this rotation,
sure. And
albeit Stroman has been struggling lately, he's been struggling lately, you want him to start. I feel most confident with a guy like Marcus Stroman. Being a rookie, I'm still good with Marcus Stroman starting a game for the Toronto Blue Jays that they need to win.
Yeah.
It's not the Cy Young Award winner. It's not the horse that is Mark Burley. It's not Jay Happy. It's Marcus Stroman.
Jay Happy. You thinking of Smiley?
Sure. No, to call him Happy.
I know, that'd be nice if Happy took on Smiley.
It'd be great.
That'd be a fun pitching matchup.
Well,
from that standpoint alone.
Just like the hockey matchup, Victor Faust and Jonathan Quick. It's Faust Quick.
I like that. Steve is in King City joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Steve, your confidence in Marcus Stroman, where are we at here?
I have a lot of confidence in Marcus Stroman. He throws strikes, and I have a lot of confidence in the rotation going forward. That's with Norris, Hutchinson, and Sanchez. And I think the future is looking pretty bright, but I think that this team still is a few pieces away from being a contending team. Now, and I'm already looking at the offseason. I don't know. I just don't have a heck of a lot of faith left in this year, unfortunately. I was optimistic at one point, but I don't know. I just think that they're just too inconsistent. And I guess I think this team is still a few pieces away. Now, if you can't, it seems like the Jays are on a bit of a shoestring budget. Or not shoestring, but they have $140 million. But they were told, I believe Bob Elliott, I believe Jason Stark, when they say that the Jays couldn't spend money, they can't spend any more money. And they don't want to trade prospects away. And I understand that perspective too. So then how are you supposed to improve this team if you can't trade? And it seems like you can't really sign anybody this offseason. And I don't believe the Blue Jays are going to go and sign anybody. And that's fine, too. Yeah, $140 million, and you still can't, you're barely above 500, then I don't know. So to me, I'm surprised that there's not more consideration for selling off some of these guys like Batista and Edwin, who are still in the prime of their careers and can still and have great contracts, and teams would easily pick them up. And why not just look towards that? And that's just my opinion. Thanks for taking my call.
Steve, thank you, but that makes no sense. You talk about all the attractive qualities that Bautista and Encarnacion would have. Why wouldn't you want them on your club?
Right.
That makes no sense. and ask the Tigers and the A's about removing a key piece of their offense to help every 5 days with a guy in your rotation, albeit a Price or a Lester, because they've been struggling offensively since then. That makes no sense. If you're making a push here to make the playoffs to ultimately win a World Series, you're doing it with Bautista and Encarnacion.
Now, I don't want to bury the 2014 season yet, and the Blue Jays still do have a chance. They have to get red hot here, red hot down the stretch to make a serious push for that second wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look to the offseason, unless you get some offer, Alex Anthopoulos, who you assume will be the general manager of this team, if he gets something that knocks his socks off for a guy like Bautista or Edwin, why wouldn't you try going to next season? You have the one of the most feared 3-4 hitters in all of baseball, back-to-back power hitters. You got to keep that together. And if this team, and you have to add to that group, if this team is just terrible out of the gate next season, then you think of maybe dealing this guy's around the All-Star break, around the trade deadline. If the season is done, if they've played
the season is done that early?
Right. If they're
that early?
Well,
I mean, it depends on what you need. But I would want to move forward. You don't have this. How many teams can boast a 1-2 punch like a Bautista and Encarnacion?
Right, but I mean, if this team isn't going to be competitive next season around the All-Star break, around the trade deadline, why are you holding on to these guys then?
Yeah,
they're assets that you can get a lot for.
You're fast forwarding all the way to the All-Star break next year.
But that's what I'm saying. If this team isn't competitive by then, that's the deadline to me to trading guys like Bautista and Edwin. If this team doesn't have a legit shot at a playoff spot and being a contending team with those two feared bats in the lineup, it's time to move on. But until then, you give them just a little bit more time to start of next season, see how this team is going to shake out, you see how the offseason is going to shake out, and you still have that core you try to add to this core. But if they're not winning and if they're not right there come All-Star break, the trade deadline next season, that's when I would think about dealing
with these guys. If you're midway through year three of the window in which you're going for it.
That fictitious window that exists.
And you're way off.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just generally speaking, you'd have to rethink the whole situation. Blue Jays, I would think, no different at that time. Rocky in Markham, calling us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What you got, Rocky?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yes. I have so much confidence on Stroman because if you think about this, I looked into his stats, 14 starts he has made for the Jays so far. 10 of them are quality starts. And I was, if you go on MLB.com and on Sports on Air, Jim Cowser wrote an article saying that there are six prospects, pitching prospects, that have the potential to become an ace. And he included Stroman as one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you look at his detail to detail, Stroman, even though he's 5'9", sure, but his stuff is filthy in, like you know it. Like, you know how he pitched them throughout the year. And I'd like to bring it up about the Jose Bautista and Encarnacion situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two are probably the dynamic duo of the MLB right now. Before, it used to be Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera. If you think about this, when Prince Fielder was playing for the Tigers, Miguel Cabrera won 2 MVPs. Remember,
yeah.
One of them was a triple crown as well. So offense is definitely a key. Yeah, because if you think about this, yesterday, Detroit was facing Tampa, and it came down to pitching, but they still lost at the end of the day. So definitely you need that offense if you want to win those key games. But, yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Rocky, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, Victor Martinez has certainly held his own. And
he's not
been
bad.
A big piece for the Detroit Tigers. But, boy, the Tigers are really, really struggling. They're a 500 team in the past 10 games, but not in the lead in the AL Central, which we've been accustomed to seeing. The Kansas City Royals have a game and a half lead there. Now, a 1-2 punch in Encarnacion Bautista, as we said. You don't see that very often in Major League Baseball. So I wouldn't want to. If I'm breaking that up, this thing's blowing up real good.
Well, but that's
down the line if it ever comes.
But that's what I was telling you. That to me, you got to try again to add to this core because you have those two bats in the lineup. And if things go awry early in the season, or you know, we knew where the Blue Jays were here at the trade deadline. They were contending. Let's add pieces. If the Blue Jays are either one way or the other next year around the trade deadline, then you know where you're at. We have to hold on to these guys to make a push. If not, You can get a lot of prospects for these guys. There's a lot of things to be had for the Blue Jays moving forward, trading a guy like Bautista. And Edwin, Bautista has such a fantastic contract. What would he be worth on the market this winter? I can't even imagine. But are you willing to do that? Is the fan base willing to do that? Are fans willing to say, okay, we're going to trade Bautista, we're going to trade Edwin, we're going to be bad now for the next 3-4 seasons. Strap in, Blue Jay fans. You're not going to get any competitive baseball. We do have these pieces like a Sanchez, like a Stroman, like a Norris, and whatever the fruits of those trades of Edwin and Bautista mm-hmm. produce, this is what we have moving forward. We want patience. But it's been 21 years, Jeff, since we've seen a playoff game here in Toronto.
I just honestly think we're all looking too far ahead. You know, I'm looking at the rest of this year, and we're talking about Stroman and the confidence that you would have in Stroman moving forward, and it's not a question that's asked because there's a lack of confidence coming our way. It's a question because he's a rookie, and so that's where the question comes into play. So I we're still in the midst of a playoff run, as slim as the chances are. So to be looking that far ahead and to be talking about Bautista Encarnacion, if we blow this thing up.
And those numbers...
We've gotten to that point already?
The stupid percentages, the Blue Jays are just over 4% to make the playoffs.
Well, 4.9.
What were they when they were leading the division for over a month? Their percentage was...
5.9.
A hell of a lot higher to make the playoffs. So I don't buy those stupid percentages. If the Blue Jays go 9-0 on this homestand... Oh, their percentage is going to jump
that's
up.
That's the thing.
It's so stupid. My goodness.
You look at the percentage, but with every win, your percentage can go up.
I just hate that. It's such a stupid, arbitrary number to me.
No, I don't discount it.
I completely discount it.
It's a game of a lot of numbers. So you just, you take them all in. See, what you do is you take them all in, you digest them, and see what comes out the other
end. All I'm saying is that number meant nothing when the Blue Jays led the division, and it means nothing now when they're 4 games out. It's the same thing to me.
Well, it meant nothing when they led the division because they don't lead the division anymore.
And how many Blue Jay fans were nestling up to that 37% or whatever the hell it was when they were leading the division? Oh, the Blue Jays have 37%.
They weren't. Who was saying that?
But
everybody
I'm just
was
saying
so
people
pessimistic
are,
at the time.
Right, but people are negative now. Oh, they only have a 4% chance. Well, where were those people when they had a 41% chance?
They were waiting for this 4% chance.
But that's what I'm saying. That percentage means nothing to me. It's just an arbitrary number.
Well, it meant nothing also because if you're talking about it at that time, it's June.
Right.
So who's talking about percentages?
But that number still means nothing today. If they go 9-0 in this home...
It means a hell of a lot more with 35 games left to go in the season. Let's go to Robin Woodbridge. He joins us.
Mike brought up the example of the Tampa Bay Rays, too.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be Johnny Pessimist, Johnny Optimist when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays. Being a realist, you've always said you got to hit
Johnny
90.
Pessimist.
Johnny Optimist. I'm Positive Pete right now.
Oh, Positive Pete. All
positive
right.
Pete.
Yeah.
We all know the Blue Jays got to go 25-10 to hit that, quote-unquote, that magical unicorn 90 wins.
Mathematically speaking, if they want to hit 90 wins,
this percentage, that means nothing to me. It means absolutely nothing to me. It does. It means zero.
Well, it doesn't mean zero to me. It's something that you factor in.
Right.
It's something that you take. You don't.
But I'm saying those numbers jump up and down so much.
Yeah,
but I mean, some fans hold on to those numbers. It means zero.
You don't
discount
it completely.
Discount it completely.
My goodness. Rob in Woodbridge on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Rob, your confidence in a rookie in Marcus Stroman going down the stretch.
You know what? We saw a lot of good starts. We saw a couple of bad starts. He's still a rookie. I think for the years to come, this guy's going to be an elite prospect. But I want to touch on a topic. I think if the Jays were still in first place and had a really good shot at making the playoffs, we wouldn't care too much if they did make a move. I think it's that we had it in first place, and then we just lost the playoff spot. I think that's why a lot of fans are frustrated, you know?
Well, yeah, thank you, Rob. Yeah. Of course, a lot of people are frustrated that they were in first place and they're not anymore. Yeah, we know that. Thanks for the call.
Especially when they had a 41% chance of making it into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were upset when the Toronto Maple Leafs lost that game in Game 7 against the Boston Bruins. I think a lot of people were upset about that.
Right.
Right.
And the percentage of the Bruins coming back in that game was like 2.1.
It was. And I took that in as a factor.
My goodness.
But it wasn't the only thing I was
it's
living by.
It's so stupid.
Let's go to Midland in Toronto, joining us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Midland.
Hi. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Well, before you discount those percentages, maybe you should see how they're calculated first. I have no idea how they're calculated either. But maybe if they have some sort of, you know, if it's justified.
It's not gospel. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's not gospel. It's not gospel.
And some people pretend like.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
All right. Thanks for the call. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're just kidding. Just go ahead.
More middling.
Well, as for Stroman, people have to remember this kid. We shouldn't have much confidence with him. He's a rookie. As much of a great season he's had, and as he's probably a Rookie of the Year candidate, and he's going to be an exciting pitcher to watch. But we should have little confidence in him, and we shouldn't put the burden on Stroman.
Well, middling, thank you, but here's the situation. The Blue Jays have a slim chance of making the playoffs. They're throwing him out every fifth day. This is the situation. So, like it or lump it, that's how it is for Marcus Stroman. The Blue Jays depend on him every fifth day. And, having said all that, he likes it. He seems to really like it.
Yeah.
He wants this. He wants this stage. He's got that confidence. And I would have said that about him before he got into the big leagues, because I think I talked to him twice. Interviewed him twice before he got to the big leagues, and I was blown away by his positivity and his upbeat nature. And I thought, geez, if anybody could take on the pressures and the rigors of being a big league pitcher, I would think it's going to be this guy. And I think he's handled that quite nicely.
And by the way, Jose Abreu is going to win the Rookie of the Year for the Chicago White Sox. That's a done deal.
Yeah, as he should.
That is a done deal.
All right, well, that wasn't it. That wasn't coming.
No, I'm just saying he should have Rookie of the Year consideration. I think we're
okay.
I'm just saying we're a little
consideration is fine.
Sure,
but yeah.
You know what? I just saw that Marcus Stroman has a 3.1% chance of winning the Rookie of the Year.
A 3.1% chance,
yeah,
huh?
He does. He has a 3.1% chance of winning Rookie
based
of the Year.
Based on GeorgeRussickStats.com?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because it's gospel. Sammet. You should base on how you cheer for the Blue Jays. And your thoughts of the season based on that percentage of Marcus Stroman winning the Rookie of the Year?
3.1%. I'm gonna think about that, take that under consideration.
And let it soak in.
And not discount it completely.
Marinate it.
Thank you
let
for
it marinate.
I'm going to let that marinate. I'm going to soak in that. I'm going to bathe in that for a little while.
I hate that number.
The Blue Jays take on the Rays tonight. Smiley, who smiles in his profile. Wouldn't it be funny if he did not smile in his profile picture that was taken of him, that is issued throughout those that would post it? Yes, thank you.
Wow, Travis.
We got confirmation in our ears from Travis, our producer, can confirm that Smiley has a closed mouth picture. I'm looking at the picture, Travis.
Hey, Travis, what percentage would you say his mouth is closed? Because I really need to know the percentage of his closed mouth.
Oh, it's 100% closed.
100% closed.
It's 100% closed.
Wow.
Marcus Stroman is also smiling in his profile picture. And he's got a bigger smile than Smiley, which says a lot.
I will say Marcus Stroman probably leads the league in chewing gum. Because that dude is chewing gum while he throws pitches, which is awesome.
He does. He's a chomper. He's not Bill Belichick. Like, you know, doesn't have like a gum deal. No, not Bill Belichick. Who am I thinking of?
Pete Carroll. I don't know. Does Pete Carroll have a gum deal? He should.
He should have a gum deal.
That guy's all about the gum.
Smiley Stroman tonight, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet as well. It's like a 7:07 first pitch.
You mentioned Belichick. I thought cut-up hoodie right away. That's what I remember, cut-off hoodie.
I meant Pete Carroll.
With ill-fitting khakis.
I meant Pete Carroll. As we continue this hour, Ben Wagner is the radio voice of the Buffalo Bisons. Not only that, but he's going to join us on the Jeff Blair Show because Daniel Norris was dynamite last night in his final start with the Bisons before he endeavors into the bullpen. We'll talk to Ben as we continue the Jeff Blair Show. With George Russick, I'm Jeff Sammet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you...
It's 9:42 on the Jeff Blair Show with George Russick. I'm Jeff Sammet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll have Ben Wagner on the show. Well, There's about a 95% chance that Ben Wagner is going to join us.
Well, I will tell you this. There's a 100% chance there'll be fires in Buffalo tonight. Yes. I'm like the Cal Ripken of blasting Buffalo.
Know, it's gotten to a point
like,
where
I'm like the Cal Ripken.
I don't want to have anybody on from Buffalo. I don't want to talk about any Buffalo stories. That's where we're at now.
I'm like the Iron
Man. You're eliminating
I'm the
all
Iron
the things,
Man
all
of
things
ripping
I like
Buffalo.
I like talking about Buffalo. Don't want to do it anymore. I like talking about R.A. Dickey. Don't want to do it anymore.
My dream is for R.A. Dickey to pitch for the Bisons. And then my life will be complete.
Sticking with that theme, soccer talk next hour. John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca is going to join us in an hour's time. We'll talk about TFC and Premier League.
Oh, you didn't call him the TFC.
It'll be a whole thing.
I like when you call him the TFC.
The TFC.
Yeah.
The Reds. There's about a 78% chance John Molinaro joins us next hour.
It's going to be all a show like that. Strap in.
100% chance now of Ben Wagner joining us. Bison's radio voice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ben, I got to say, very disappointed in Daniel Norris's start yesterday for the Buffalo Bisons. He had struck out 10 and then 13 in his first two starts with the Bisons. Last night, he can only strike out 9. What's wrong with Daniel Norris?
Well, clearly, we have to go to the video. We have to start breaking it down inning by inning. Look at pitch selection. Bring Mike Nickias in, question him one-on-one.
Yeah.
Why he's calling certain pitches in certain counts.
A lot of us very worried, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how spoiled we've been.
Yeah.
I mean, really, through this first three starts, you strike out 10 in the debut. He's so crisp. Slider was just absolutely dominant. Fastball command, spot on in Durham. The second start, you go deeper into the bag of tricks. The curveball was the lights-out pitch. And Mike Nickias told me that before the game. I said, what are you going to do different here? Same thing, you're going to do something different. He said, no, the curveball, we didn't use that much in Durham in his debut. Let's break it out in a second start. And it absolutely froze, guys. Curveball was good yesterday. Fastball command, though, was a little bit off for Daniel, and that's why the pitch count got elevated. We found out later that the innings cap would have been at 5, regardless of the pitch count. So it would have been 5 and dive for Daniel, no matter what happened. He goes out, he strikes out 9. The only hit is when he got ambushed on a fastball that leaked out over the plate, and the kid cracked it over the left field wall and barely got it out. He scraped the top. And you're looking back, and you're thinking, well, you know, this is pretty good. And you start to evaluate the entire thing, and now look at the whole body of work, 32 strikeouts and 16 and two-thirds worth of work. It's pretty impressive for a guy that's 21 years of age and still getting his feet wet at AAA.
Ben, you've had the pleasure of watching all the guys, all the big-time prospects in Buffalo, Stroman, Sanchez, and now Norris. How do you compare the three for fans who haven't seen Daniel Norris pitch? Where does he rate between Stroman and Sanchez?
For the first three starts, I'm going to rank him first above Stroman. And, yeah, I've thought about that question, and I've had a number of conversations because at times, while Stroman was dominant, and you can go to the 6 innings of no-hit baseball that he threw in his final start before the promotion, he knew he had a limited pitch count. There was a lot swirling around. Would he, wouldn't he? It was early in the season. Sometimes the fastball command wasn't good. You knew the stuff was there. You knew the stuff was there. But nobody has been as dominant in 3 starts, and especially the first and the second, like we've had in Buffalo. And, again, you're spoiled because you've had guys with just electric stuff already, and Blue Jay fans and Bison fans have this great treat at Coca-Cola Field to watch these guys, and these are the big three. And oh, by the way, there's more in the rotation right now in Buffalo.
There is, but continuing to look at Norris, because you talked about how he came into the Buffalo Bisons having tasted success already, kind of wrapping up his minor league career so far in a nice little bow. Listen to these numbers, 12-1. A 2.20 ERA in 24 starts, 118 and two-thirds of an inning pitched, 88 hits, 29 earned runs, 39 walks, 157 strikeouts. Has it looked to you with Daniel Norris that, because whenever I want to see a youngster make it to the major league level, it's because there's just nowhere else for him to go. Have we gotten to that point with Daniel Norris?
I don't know yet. Short answer. Only because there's so much concern about the age, the jump in innings, obviously the sensitivity of handling a prospect the proper way. the stuff that you've seen at AAA has been as dominant as anything that we've seen in the league all year long. You would think that there would be a next test, and it's under constant evaluation as well. And you know the Blue Jays situation where there is a need, at least there's an option sitting at AAA where you can go down and you can say, all right, we're going to need a guy for X number of innings perhaps, and not even in terms of a start, but at least there's that insurance policy sitting at AAA. I don't think the decision's been made yet whether the next step is the major leagues for Daniel Norris. But at least you're seeing the flashes of brilliance. His role is going to be as a starter moving forward. Same thing with Aaron Sanchez. So I think there's a lot of comfort in knowing that ability, but I don't think there's this absolute rush to get into the big leagues as quickly as possible.
The voice of the Bisons, Ben Wagner, here on the Jeff Blair Show. Ben, for Blue Jay fans, again, who haven't seen him pitch, where is he with the electricity of his fastball? I was there for Aaron Sanchez's major league debut, and I saw him hit 99 on the gun. Where is Daniel Norris in relation to the velocity on his fastball to a guy like Aaron Sanchez?
The velocity is a little bit less than Sanchez, but the life on the fastball and the deception is where he becomes even more effective. You know, a left-hander that has a little bit of a quirk in his delivery coming through, and that's where he struggled a little bit. It wasn't the stuff that struggled. It was the mechanics where he was just a little bit off in opening up, coming towards the plate. A couple of scouts had mentioned that last night behind the plate after talking with some people after the ball game. And so that's where he had just a little bit of hiccup. And that's, of course, where you're going to look for the consistency, and you have to be consistent to make it to the next level every time out. So the fastball velocity, you know, to answer the question, is about 95. We've seen it at 96 miles an hour, 94 last night, 93 consistently as well. You've got a slider that has sharp break in the upper 80s. The changeup obviously has good depth on it, and the curveball, again, was just a brilliant pitch, and it falls right off the hammer. The secondary stuff with Daniel, I would rank, you know, among the elite that we've seen in Buffalo already this year. But, you know, the thing that makes him so good when he's on the mound is the fact that when he can command the fastball and the deception of it, it just jumps. It explodes as it gets just out in front of home plate, has a little bit extra life, and starts to take off on guys.
You mentioned Mike Nickias earlier on. Tell us more about the impact that veteran catcher has had on Mr. Norris.
Well, that's been the MO with Randy St. Clair and Gary Allenson with some of these younger guys. You don't want to put a green catcher behind the plate. And at least, fortunately, in Buffalo, you've always had that option where you've had Eric Kratz, who has caught a ton of guys and has extreme knowledge about guys with, you know, wipeout stuff, to the guys that have to be crafty to get guys out, and veteran guys that can not only sit there, evaluate the stuff that the pitcher is using that day and how it translates from a bullpen throughout the course of the game, what's working well, but also the comfort behind the plate where the second and third time through the order, the catchers are recognizing different swings. And so that was evident last night. Example, Carmen Angelini ambushes Norris to get the home run. Second time out, Mike Nickias goes out, talks with Daniel Norris about the approach. And the quote from Daniel after the ball game that Mike said, we're going to pitch this guy like it's game 7 of the World Series and be, you know, pretty aggressive, but at the same time be very fine, not try to make a mistake because you don't want to get burned on that. So that's the kind of thing over the course of the game you're thinking about and thought process with Mike, who has had a ton of experience at AAA, and of course he's fought everybody in the big leagues with the Mets and their top guys from Johan Santana all the way down, and obviously then in sample size that he had in the Blue Jays last year during September. So obviously that is a huge luxury for guys that are 22 and 21 years of age to kind of get their feet wet, to get a comfort level behind the plate. And Daniel was committed in working with Mike. He knew the history. He knew the guys that he had worked with. And going into the debut, even Daniel Norris said, I'm not going to shake you off once. You put it down, this is what I'm going to work with. And Mike said, well, you need to have a little bit more confidence than that. You can shake me off if you're not totally convicted with the pitch. He goes, you have that flexibility. Don't put everything on me. So there's a good give and take, and there's a lot of communication as well between the catchers and the pitchers here in Buffalo.
He's the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, Ben Wagner. Ben, thanks for doing this. You were 100% awesome.
Awesome, guys. Hope to see you soon.
All right. Looking forward to it. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour talking about Tim Leiweke's departure from MLSC. Sportsnet's John Shannon will join us. Who's next for MLSC? And we'll explore on the Jeff Blair Show. With George Russick, I'm Jeff Sam at Sportsnet 590, The Fan.